Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today is going to be a ton of fun. I got the chance to sit down with a pretty cool guy who has crushed $40,000 of debt in 2 years and built up a really great six-figure business online, actually becoming an overnight success, quote unquote, after 8 years of work. So we're going to talk to Eric Rosenberg. But before we dive into that, I have to share with you guys some really cool things. So recently I was featured on my local KTVB news, which is like our Channel 7 news. And it was so awesome. It was really cool. I got some really good feedback from people. People were reaching out to me that said, hey, I want to pay off debt as well. It was just really awesome to see that kind of support all around one news segment. It was really exciting. And thankfully, or unthankfully, I'm not quite sure which one, I was in Amsterdam at the time traveling around with my family. And so I got to get all of this stuff from a distance. And so I came back to a whole slew of emails. So the reason I'm sharing this is because if you have sent an email to me, I am running a little bit behind on that and I'm going to get to it. But I appreciate all the support of the show and all of your questions that you guys have been sending in as well. That has been really cool. So what we're doing is I'm requesting questions because I'm starting to consider doing a second episode. Not guaranteeing it yet, but if I do a second episode, it's going to be much more question and answer focused. So if you have a money question that you are just dying to get an answer to, send me an email. This is my personal email. And yes, I do respond to every single one. Might take me a little bit, but I will. It's whitney@whitneyhansen.com. If you've got a money cue, send it my way. I will answer it potentially in the very near future as we start to gear up for the new year, New Year's resolutioners, all of that fun stuff. Okay. Enough of all of that. I've got to share my favorite segment of the day, our money wins. This money win is incredible. It came from Monsi from the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss. Monsi says, I successfully found the perfect ongoing gift mechanism for kids in my family using Stockpile to open custodial brokerage accounts for various kids that I can manage in one place. It's so easy. I'm excited to be able to contribute for Christmas, birthdays, graduations, etc. I'm proud because by doing this, I had to talk about investments with the kids' parents and get them thinking about money in a way they never thought about. Luckily, they all saw value. Hashtag money win. That is such a cool money win. And more importantly, what a killer gift. I think that is one of the best gifts in the world, is to give somebody the option to have investments at such a young age. I love it. I personally would have killed to have that now that I'm older. Of course, I think it's probably more important to me. But what a cool idea. And I'm really, really proud that you found a way to do this using Stockpile. This is not like a Stockpile sponsored episode, but hey, if they want to, I'm not going to be opposed. But really cool idea. Stockpile is pretty awesome too. I recently met them at FinCon and got to chat and see a little bit about their business and how they work with bloggers and podcasters. So it's a pretty cool thing. It's actually very legit. So if you're interested, go check that one out as well. All right, guys, enough about this. Let's dive into our guest, Eric Rosenberg. Eric's pretty much just a badass. He's a finance guy from Colorado who followed his dream to move to Portland, quit his job to work online full time, and then decided the beach life was for him and moved to California. I relate to that, especially as it gets colder here in Idaho. He has both an undergrad degree and an MBA in finance. And he's got really an impressive story of how he paid off $40,000 in 2 years, started a business that after 8 years of hard work became that overnight success that we always hear about. It brings in over 6 figures per year now as well, which I think is very impressive. If you know anything about blogging, it's hard to even make a buck doing it. So I'm very, very impressed with Eric's work. His business, Personal Profitability, you can go check it out at personalprofitability.com, helps you become profitable just like a business. Kind of a weird thing, right? We sometimes think that businesses and our personal lives are so different, but he's bridging that gap a little bit more. Each week he shares income growth, investment, banking, lifestyle articles, and even podcast episodes. I've even been lucky enough to be featured on his podcast. So if you want to hear a little bit more about me being interviewed and my personal story, go check it out too. It'll be linked in the show notes. He shares the 4 pillars of personal profitability, which in his opinion are earning more, spending mindfully, growing your wealth, and living a better life. In this episode, we talk about why budgeting is not enough and why frugality will not make you rich. Yikes. Why you should never kill time, quote unquote, finding the right side hustle, the best side hustle if you need money like tomorrow, and how his blog led him to a six-figure business, not by blogging. We also discuss a little bit about how affiliate marketing works and everything in between. Guys, I am so excited to introduce you to my friend, Eric Rosenberg from personalprofitability.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Today I am joined by Eric Rosenberg, not Rosenberg, in case you were curious. So we had a conversation beforehand about pronunciation of very normal names, but how people sometimes butcher those. So I didn't want to be that person. But Eric, I am so excited to chat with you. We got to chat a little bit earlier on your podcast, Personal Profitability, and it was so much fun. You just have such a dynamic personality. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And like, I'm a little starstruck right now. I mean, the Whitney Hanson interviewing me, like,
psh. What? Yeah, I feel the same way because you've been in this industry for a long time, since 2008. Is that right?
That's when I started my first personal finance blog. Yeah. So back then, because I didn't know anything about how to choose a name of a website, it was called narrowbridgeadventures.blogspot.com. Actually, I think if you go there, it'll still will forward to the right place. But over the years, that became Personal Profitability. And that's one of my most important home online, let's say.
I love that. And I think your website's so cool too. It shows a lot about your personality and like all this stuff that you're up to. But I want to go back a little bit. Tell me, like, what was the inspiration for starting personalprofitability.com?
Sure. So, we have to go way back in time to, let's go back to high school. I won't take you all the way back. So high school, I went to a really big high school, public school. I was really lucky to have had business classes offered at my high school. I know that's not a common thing for high schools. And for electives, I had the opportunity to choose that or like art classes or music classes. And as much as I love music, I was not going to be in marching band or anything. I was done with my, I actually was in band in middle school, but I was done with the music part of my life as a student, and went with the business classes. And I really loved them. I enjoyed them. I'd grown up around finance and business a lot. My grandpa was actually a college professor at the University of Arkansas. He was a marketing professor. Nice. So this kind of business world was never too far out of my periphery, even growing up as a kid. And I went to college, got a finance degree at the University of Colorado, you know, go Buffs. And after college, my first job was as a bank manager at a regional bank in Colorado. And while that job wasn't the perfect fit for me for the long term, I learned so much working there. I was in charge of the tellers, the customer service, new accounts, and I was the guy who approved mortgage loans up to a certain limit, or credit cards or lines of credit, any new loan up to my signing limit, which, if I remember right, was, I think, $250,000. So I was getting a handful of volume through, and I learned, as I had so much, just about all the struggles people have day to day with banking. Like when someone overdrafted, if they wanted their fees waived or something like that, it often came to me. So I got to dig into people's bank accounts and I looked at where they were overdrafting. I knew exactly where their money was going and if they were spending it responsibly. But doing that, I learned so much about people's spending habits as well. And at the same time, there was this brand new site that had just come out called mint.com, and I was starting to track my money. This was 2007. And I ended up leaving the job in the bank, and I was reading all these personal finance blogs. Not that it matters, many of them by female writers, some by male writers. And I thought to myself, you know, these people are writing about getting out of debt and managing these huge money problems they're having. And look at me, I have a finance degree and I used to run a bank. I've never had any money problems. I'm the one who should be talking about money. So yeah. I'd been blogging about, I'm a big Israel advocate. I've been there a lot of times. I have family there. So I'd been blogging since 2006, just as a hobby, not about personal finance. And when I left the job in the bank, not too long later, it was October 2008 is when I started what became Personal Profitability.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that you used your experience too of working in banking and your degree in finance and just turn that into something that's really engaging and conversational. So for somebody that's never been to your website before, which is crazy, especially where it's been out since 2008, but if somebody by chance has not, what kinds of content can they expect to see from you?
Sure. So my tagline is to live a better life, or I'll start at the beginning. So personal, I have to say it like the whole thing. I can't just like my tagline. Like I have to start at word one. So personal profitability is all about earning more, spending thoughtfully, growing your wealth, and living a better life through mindful personal finance.
Bam.
Which really means I blog about personal finance and entrepreneurship and want to help people succeed, whether they want to better manage the money they have today, whether they want to earn more at work at their job they already have, or one of my favorite things and what really led to where we are right now in this conversation, side hustles and earning more on the side and helping, you know, build up your, you know, I'll step back a second. So I have this philosophy that your personal finance is a lot like dieting and health management, even though, you know, one is calories and one is dollars. They actually work similarly in our lives and how we interact with them. So, you know, if you want to lose weight, if you want to get healthier in life, you have two sides of the equation. One is the inputs. That's what you eat and your food, your caloric intake. And one is the outputs, which is exercise, you know, how you burn calories. And if you sit on if you stand on the treadmill hours and hours every single day, let's say you're like Michael Phelps level dedication to exercise and you're like 12 hours a day on the treadmill, 18 hours a day, whatever the maximum you could do, mm-hmm. there is a maximum. There are only so many calories you could ever potentially burn in a day, whereas you can eat forever. I mean, yeah, I guess eventually you'd get sick, but there is essentially no limit to how many calories you can take in. It doesn't matter if you're exercise like Michael Phelps, if all you do is eat pizza and cake and ice cream, that's just, you know, that's math.
Such a bummer.
It's science. I know, totally, right? Last night at like 9 o'clock on the way back, I put the dogs away. I was like sneaking a couple bites of ice cream. I'm like, but money is the same thing. So you can budget, and budgeting is really important, just like exercise. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't exercise, but your budgeting, that is your output. But you can only budget and save so much. Mm-hmm. So if you make, let's say, $30,000 a year, you can budget and be super frugal and save and, you know, make your own shampoo and deodorant. There's super frugal people who do that to save money. Okay. Yuck to me, but good for them. You know, there's all these things you can do to save money, but you're never going to get rich if you make $30,000 a year. And I'm sorry to give you that rough news if you make $30,000 a year. But here's the good news. Like, you could eat pizza and ice cream forever. There is no limit to how much you can earn. You can earn forever. So while you can only budget so much, if you find you're still struggling, well, look at the other side of the equation. And a lot of people don't think about that. A lot of people think, well, I go to work and this is how much I get paid, so that's what I earn. You know, get rid of that mental block, because you can make so much more. And the only people who really can't make more than they make at work, let's say you're a lawyer, or some doctors might have a contract that says they can only work for their company. They can't work for an outside, you know, any kind of conflict of interest company, even if it's their own. But those people are already probably making six figures, so I don't feel so bad for them. So for the rest of us, you can work more on the side. You have your nights, you have your evenings, you have your weekends, you have all of these hours, even vacation days, if that's what you want to use that time for, that you can make more. And there is no limit to what you can make. And that's how personal profitability started for me.
I love it. So I'm immediately hearing people's voices, and I've been there myself. I mean, I haven't always been a fan of side hustles. I used to think, you know, work-life balance was a really big deal. And actually now I don't really believe in that quite as much. But when I did think about that stuff, when I was first getting going, I know I used to feel this way, and I hope I'm not alone, of I want to do a side hustle. I think it's cool, but I still want a life. I don't want to be working 90 hours a week, and I also just don't really know where to start. So what advice do you have for that type of old Whitney, or young Whitney, I should say?
Sure. So first off, understand where you're spending your time today and where it goes. And I bet you for most people, mm-hmm. you would be surprised if you actually tracked where, let's say in 15 minute chunks, where you spend your time. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of downtime. Like if you ever play any games on your phone, that's one of my weaknesses. That is one of my places that I wouldn't say I waste time because I like to play games. I think it's fun. I play video games my whole life. I'm a nerdy boy. That's what we do. So, but when you look through, if you have an Android, this is just a funny little, not homework assignment, but something interesting psychologically you can find. So if you look through games on the Android store and Google Play, mm-hmm. There's not for any app. It shows like these are the things people say most about it. And one thing I see people say a lot is time killer. Never kill time. That's like the worst thing you could possibly do. Time is a limited resource. You only have 24 hours a day. And no matter how much we want more time, that is one thing we can't get more of. So don't waste time. Don't kill time. Don't destroy time. Don't pass the time. Use time. Use every single minute intentionally, because that's one thing that we can control that no one else has as much control over. Yeah. So I mean, someone says, you know, when I was in a desk job, I had to have my butt in chair time in my gray cubicle, but outside of the office, I could use my time any way I wanted. Mm-hmm. And one place that's really easy to pick on, but it's easy to pick on because it's true, is TV. And that's a place mm-hmm. so many people waste so many hours. And young Whitney was probably a lot like young Eric. I used to sit when I was 22, I'd get home from work and I'd turn on my cable TV and I'd zone out and maybe do a little work on my laptop. But I was more interested in what was on TV. And totally. I know that that is what a lot of people do. And there's statistics out there. What do people spend 5 hours a day or something watching TV? Mm-hmm. And if you had 5 hours a day, that's 25 hours a week. You could spend, that's a part-time job right True. There. Like, there's your hours. If you think you don't have time, if you sit and watch TV, boom, there's your time. So one thing even better about TV. So I was paying $70 a month to Comcast, who I don't have warm, fuzzy feelings in my heart about Comcast. but I was dutifully paying them my $70 a month. And actually I worked for Quest, which is a phone company that doesn't exist anymore at the time. And, I didn't even get my internet from Comcast. So I was just getting my TV from Comcast. I was giving them $70 every month to come home and zone out and get fat on the couch and watch the commercials that other people thought I should watch for, you know, a third of the time I was sitting there anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I was looking at Big Bang Theory episodes are only 19 minutes. So that means 11 minutes of that are commercials. And that's one of the most popular shows out there right now.
So crazy.
So I cut cable in 2011, I have since saved something like $5,500 on cable bills that I would have given Comcast. So that's money that I have. Man. And an even more valuable thing than that, which it's hard to find something more valuable than $5,000, is the time that I got back when I stopped zoning out watching TV. Mm-hmm. So I started doing two things then very differently in my life. One, I started working a lot harder on my side hustles because I wasn't coming home and watching as much TV. I thought, I'm going to pull out my laptop and I'm going to write a blog post or two or whatever, something for my online business. Mm-hmm. And I also found I went out and I was a lot more social. I was going to more happy hours, young professional networking events, things like that. And that made me happier also. And I made a lot of new friends because of it, which once you're out of college, making friends is a lot harder than when you're in college. Harder. Like, it's this weird thing. Like, as a grown up, like, I was at a, we're like finally at the age that my daughter's old enough, we might start having play groups. And I was talking to one of the other dads. I'm like so excited to like know another dad in the neighborhood who was a kid around my age. Like, just to like know somebody.
So you could have like friend groups and play dates.
Yeah. I was like, we should have like a dad play night where we all get together and like, I have a projector. We should just like put Star Wars on the side of the house and drink scotch.
Awesome.
Cigars in the backyard.
That's actually a good idea. That would be a ton of fun.
I was like, yeah, that's, and I live in Southern California, so we can do that like any day of the year. It's amazing.
Oh, man, scoot over. I'm coming down there.
I love the weather here. So, so that social aspect was another huge thing for me about getting rid of TV. And I find being social, interacting with people, gives me more motivation and energy to work on my businesses as well. So, you know, if you're anything like me, and I'm guessing you, Whitney, listeners out there, there's probably something that you love and you're obsessed about, and your like significant other or your friends are like, yeah, we get it. You love this. Now quit talking about it. For me, that has been money for a long time. And I have other things come and go too. But I'm always talking about money. I know people say you shouldn't talk about like money, politics, and religion. I'm like, well, everything else is boring. That's like all I really want to talk to people about. Like, I want to like know what makes people tick, right? Yeah. So that social aspect and having work-life balance, I think still is important with a side hustle, because you need that outside influence to funnel back in and re-energize you to work on your hustle. But at the end of the day, it is called a hustle. And it is work. So, you know, work does take time. It does take effort. But I think there is something inherently and intrinsically good about, like, I feel good after a hard day's work. Like, I feel like I earned, you know, the life I have after that day. So don't be afraid to do a little work and get your elbows dirty or your hands dirty. But, you know, make sure if it's a side hustle, whatever it is, if it's something you love, you'll be much more excited about it and you'll want to do it. And it won't feel as difficult. Confucius said, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. You know, I don't think that's totally true, but I agree with the sentiment. Mm-hmm. You know, there are days that I'm like, oh, I have to write another article today and I don't feel like it. You know, and that's like in any job. But more days than not, I'm like, I love my job. Look at what I get to do. I wake up. I work at home. I'm like still in my pajamas right now as I'm recording this. It's, you know, it's like 8:30 in the morning. I haven't showered or anything yet. My beautiful daughter's here in the house. I can see her anytime I want. It's like, I live this amazing dream lifestyle. It feels like I don't have to ask anyone about vacation time, anything like that. And it all started as a side hustle. It all started because one day in 2008, I thought, oh, if these people can write a finance blog, I can write a finance blog. And that's how it started. And actually, right before I went into this long answer, you said, what about people who can't think of what they want to do?
Yeah.
Or they don't know where to start?
That's right.
I actually made a list of 137 side hustle ideas that is free if you go to personalprofitability.com/side-hustle. Steal my ideas. And please email me and Whitney to tell us that you took one of them and how well it worked, because I want to know. Good, bad, let us know. Like that's what it's all about.
That,
you know,
so cool.
Get out there and start.
I love that. And I think that this is really cool. So one of the things that I know you're a big fan of is blogging as a side hustle, because it opens up so many doors. You learn new skills, you get to become more articulate, and you have more clarity in writing. It's like all around that becomes a much better thing. But I don't know about you. So one of the things that when I hear people that say they want to side hustle and maybe start a blog, I don't want to steer them away from that because I think it's really great, but I also think it's kind of a longer term game. So are there any side hustles that you know of that you think are just really good if you need to make a little extra cash like tomorrow?
If you own a car, sign up for Uber or Lyft.
Yeah.
Like that is the quickest way that you could just make money tomorrow. Or I don't know how long their onboarding process is. I think there's a couple days of background checks and stuff, but you know, that is a quick way to earn money, like no matter what your skill set is. As long as you are, you know, a legal U.S. person and have a good driving record and insurance, you can do that. And we have mutual friends who have done that. Martin Dasko, his website, Studonomics or Studonomics, depending on the day of the week. but his site is he did this. He was like, you know what? I want to know what it's like to be an Uber driver. And he signed up and he did it for a few months and wrote like a 10,000 word post or something on it. It's practically a book. And he said, you know, it's not perfect. There are expenses you have to pay for as well. Like they don't reimburse you for your gas. That kind of comes out of the whole net of what you make. Mm-hmm. But if you just like need to pay the rent on Friday and it's Wednesday, or hopefully, you know, you have to pay it like 2 weeks from Friday and you're not planning that last minute, yeah. Whatever your situation is, you know, there are ways like that to go out there and just make money really quickly. If there's something that a lot of people forget about, you already have skills that someone is paying you for today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, my background being in finance, I could go get a gig as a bookkeeper and get hourly. I can do that online. I could go get a gig, because I've built websites. I've been doing it since I was 16. I can go, if I wanted today, I could go find a web design client who would pay me probably $1,000 to build a website for them. Of course, you know, that's a skill that's taken me years to get, mm-hmm. but it's a skill I have that I'm not actively using day to day, but I can use to get paid. So think about, you know, whatever it is you do, whatever your day job is, maybe you could do that on the side, you know, for a few hours. You can moonlight doing that. You know, anybody can do yard work or shovel. Mm-hmm. So some season of the year, someone needs something done with their yard. Unless you live in the middle of Manhattan, most people have yards. So, you know, if you live in a suburban area, that's a thing. There's all these ideas, you know, 137 of them on the website. So I don't have to go through them all today.
Yeah.
But you know, look at the mirror, look at what you like to do. And if you want to do the blogging route, yes, that is a much longer route to profits, but it does work for a lot of people. Most people don't make anything. And if they do, they don't make that much. So go into that with tempered expectations. But what was interesting is what that could lead to, which for me, completely changed my life. So when I started blogging, you know, I figured, oh, I'm going to treat it like a business. I'll make a few bucks doing it. And I remember being so excited the first time I got like a $10 sponsored thing that I wrote about a product. Yeah. And I was like, $10, I could go buy 2 beers. Well, with tax, almost 2 beers. Let's say like 1.5 beers. But like, how cool is that? I just paid my bar tab with something I did on the internet.
It
like,
sweet.
No way. Like, right? And now I wouldn't do anything for $10, but that first dollar is huge because most people don't get to that first dollar. So just do that. Get your first dollar. Once you do that, everything feels a lot easier because you know it's possible. So now you're just repeating something you've already done more and bigger. So, you know, I remember when I was able to pay my rent the first time and my mortgage the first time because of my blog. I mean, this is like, but it all started with that first dollar. You know, it's the reason I'm here today and the reason, you know, Whitney wanted me on the show is, oh yeah, you go to my website, click on income report. You can see I'm making 6 figures now online. And that's what a lot of people want to do. But I didn't start doing that. It was 8 years of hard work and I was an overnight success. But what really worked for me, which is not what I expected, and something I think is really important for people to recognize, you know, what you want your business to look like and how you want to earn is not necessarily what's going to work for you. And even if it's not exactly what you planned, if something is working, you should embrace it. Because a success, even if it's not the success you intended, is still a success. So for me, you know, I was writing, I was getting these $10 here and there, and then it became 100 and then 200, which was great, but it wasn't as consistent as I wanted. And you know, it helped me pay off my student loans. It helped my finances, obviously. Having more money is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any situation I would not want more money. right? But what really worked for me, so I started going to FinCon, which is where we met and know each other from, which I'm not sure what date this is coming up, but if you are hearing this and FinCon has not happened yet, it's coming up this October. It has totally changed and revolutionized my life. And it's another one of those things. I would not be here today if it were not for that. And if you live anywhere near Dallas, there's actually a day, or an evening, the Friday evening of FinCon is going to be open to the public. I think it's $39. So if you live within a short drive of Dallas and you like this podcast, you would love FinCon. So come in and meet us that evening. But so for me, I started going to FinCon. Actually, I went to the first one in 2011 in Schaumburg, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. It's famous for having a really big mall, like the second biggest mall in the United States. If that's your claim to fame, then I'll just say it wasn't that exciting of a suburb. So it was a suburb. But what was exciting was that was where I learned how to really start treating my blog like a business and not like a hobby. Mm. And over the years going to FinCon, different companies, you know, financial companies, fintech startups, other finance blogs started to notice me and my writing and said, hey, you know, we like what you do. You have, at this point I had an MBA, so you have the right credentials. You've worked in a bank. We would love for you to write for our site and we'll pay you. And I figured out they were paying me a heck of a lot more per post than I was making on my own blog.
That's awesome.
And over the years, what they paid me started to grow, and not, you know, necessarily each specific client started to pay me more, but as I was bringing on new clients, I was able to charge more because of this portfolio I'd been creating. And I didn't realize at the time when I started Personal Profitability, I was writing my new resume, essentially, but that's what I was doing. And that's how I say, you know, after 8 years of hard work, I was an overnight success. So what really happened was, over these years, you know, my blog income did grow, and I still make, you know, I make thousands of dollars per year from it, not 10,000, but I'm in the thousands range. I couldn't live on that, though. You know, I couldn't live on under 10,000 a year, especially here in Southern California, where, I mean, that's like my property taxes almost are 10,000.
That's so sad.
It's like, I call it the sunshine tax, because it's just like the weather is so nice all year. It's like, I live on vacation. Like, other people come to where I live to go on vacation. Like, my dad lives in Denver. That's where I grew up. He's like, well, I don't want to go to Amsterdam on vacation in the winter. It's cold. I want to go somewhere warm. I say, well, I live somewhere warm, so I don't care where I go on vacation in the winter.
That's right.
Like, it's warm every day. When I get home, it'll be warm. So
that's awesome.
I'm like losing my train of thought. Oh, no, now I remember where I was. So So these companies were hiring me, and that's really what led to my big income. And that's how I make, you know, 10,000 plus per month. If you go to my income reports at personalprofitability.com, I've been breaking down since before 2012, every dollar I make online. And you can see the growth where, yeah, there are some great months for my blog, but the freelance income was what started to really grow and work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought I was going to be like Pat Flynn. I didn't think I was going to be a freelancer. I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to have hundreds of thousands of visits per month on my website, and people are going to love everything I write, and they're going to watch my videos and listen to my podcast and click all my affiliate links, and I'm going to be rich, and it's going to be amazing. Yay. But it only part happened that way, partially because Google doesn't like my website as much as I do. But
same. I'm like, come on, Google, get with it.
Exactly. Like, I know that I'm awesome, but like, come on, Matt Cutts. It's because he's not there anymore. He went to work for the government. It's all gone to hell. No. So, but the freelancing thing was working, and yeah, that wasn't my plan. That wasn't what I intended to do, but it was working. So what should I have done? Should I have gone and kept working 100% on my blog that was making me, you know, up to $10,000 a year? Or should I have jumped into the freelancing, which now makes me over $10,000 a month? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's clear now I made the right decision. Hindsight's always 20/20, right? But I now know I made the right decision, but it wasn't so obvious in the beginning. I really had to look at my books. With a finance background, I used to be a corporate accountant, so I have very meticulous bookkeeping in my QuickBooks. And actually, even within identifying what worked, I actually even did that again. If you've ever read The 4-Hour Work Week or familiar with the 80-20 rule or Pareto's principle, the idea is if you find something, 80% of your results will come from 20% of your work, and the remaining 80% of your work only leads to 20% of your results. Mm-hmm. So last summer, about 3 months after I'd quit my job, which was, you know, this amazing thing. It was April 2016. It was my last day of Gray Cubicle Land. And I walked out of corporate America and went home and started blogging that same day, because I was like, well, now it's up to me to pay the bills. Yeah. I'm not going to get paid to just be here. which I wasn't getting paid to just be there. You know, I always worked hard. And I believe it's very important to do a good job for your employer, because for most people, that is your primary income. So don't ignore that or think, oh, my side hustle is more important. And for a long time, your primary income is always, you know, your day job is going to be the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, as my business grew, after I'd left that job, I was still finding I was working these really long hours, and I was stressed a lot, and I wasn't making as much as I thought I should be. I thought, you know, I'm working so many more hours now than I was doing this part time, and my income has gone up, but not as much as I thought it would have. It's like, what was broken? And I looked at my books and I saw 76% of my revenue was coming from writing. So almost exactly 80%. And 20% was coming from website development type projects, which I was doing also. But then I was looking at my time and thinking about how I was spending my days. and about 80% of my time and 90% of my stress was related to the website work.
Yep.
And that was making only 20% of my income. So I thought, you know what, even though it will mean I make less for the next couple months, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start winding it down and put more focus into writing and just see what happens. And my income tripled over 2 months is what happened.
Nice.
That was last October. Actually, it was the month of FinCon last year was my first $10,000 month. And I was actually a $16,000 month, which is still my biggest month I've ever had. I was like, holy cow, this 80-20 rule thing, it works.
That is, well, I mean, think about that too, because we were talking about people that make like $30,000 a year. You made half of that, half of somebody's entire yearly salary in 1 month.
Like, yeah, and there were, that wasn't all profit, that was revenue.
Sure,
but still, like maybe my expenses that month where I did some computer stuff. I could actually, I could go to my income report and tell you exactly on the website. You know, I took the trip to FinCon and I had some computer expenses, web hosting, things like that. But let's say add up all of that,
right,
including the hotel and everything, maybe $1,500 in expenses I had that entire month.
That's crazy.
So the rest, I mean, as self-employed now, you know, there's taxes you have to take into account too, which is not something you have to think about as much with a day job. But even after taxes and everything, you know, that's still like 10 grand. I'm like, you know, and you know, my first job out of school, I was making a little over 40,000. So I was making in a month what I used to make in three.
See, and I love that. And that's the thing that I want people to see, that they can get there too. So maybe it's not with blogging. Maybe it's a totally different side hustle. Maybe you're selling products on Etsy, like whatever the heck you're doing. But you can have that. You just have to stay patient and you have to stay consistent and you have to treat it like it's a job. It's not the side hustle that you can do when it's convenient. Like, you've got to show up day after day, but you can get those results if you do the right steps. And you're living proof, Eric. You're amazing. That's incredible. $16,000 in 1 month is very impressive.
And I just need to figure out how to do that every month.
Right? That's where the fun starts.
But still, every single month since then, I have made over $10,000 a month, except 1 month I missed it by $200. And I was like, but you know what? I was going to be down on myself about it. I'm like, I missed my goal. I didn't make $10,000. I was like, well, wait a minute. I still made $9,800.
Yeah, this month. Like $200.
Really? This is like a year ago. I wouldn't have even believed that I was going to be doing that. So, I mean, I would have, I did believe it. That's why I made it happen. But, you know, I was pinching myself like this is a bad month for me now, like is making $9,800. So
it's amazing.
But you know, really though, and the reason I go into details about the whole history of the story and the first time I was able to buy a beer with what I made online is it really does start with that first dollar. You know, I was some 23, 24 year old young guy. I was going to nightclubs. I was partying. That was what I was focused about. Like most people, like most guys in my mid 20s, I was into, you know, girls and parties and fun, and it was all good and great. But after those parties, I came home and, you know, Sunday morning when I finished sleeping off my hangover, I opened up my laptop and I got back to work because it wasn't going to happen without me. And it really does start with that first dollar. And it doesn't matter if you're 22 or 32 or 62, you can always start a new side hustle. You can always make more. And, you know, for me, you know, it's like, what are your hobbies? What do you like spending your time doing anyway? Try to find a way to incorporate that into making money. You know, let's say you're a, I got my pilot's license last year. I think aviation's super fun. I love flying around.
Nice.
I don't fly that often because it's super expensive, but I love it. And, you know, let's say that's your thing and you're in the planes, you know, you can start a plane blog or you can create a course teaching people what they would need to know about what it takes to get a pilot's license. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have to teach them to do it. Just teach them what they need to know to do it. You know, there's, like unlimited things you can do with just that one hobby. You know, if you're into, let's say you're into fly fishing, I have no interest really in going fishing because standing there and staring at water is not my personal idea of fun, but my brother-in-law loves fishing and that's his thing and awesome for him, you know, like just because he's into it doesn't mean it's like, cause I'm not into it doesn't make it a bad thing. Right. So let's say you're into fly fishing and that's your thing and that's what you love. you can start a blog about blogs are an easy example because the startup costs are like $50 a year for a domain and hosting. So you can link to like fishing lures and flies on Amazon, sign up for their program called Amazon Associates. Mm-hmm. And if someone goes through your link where you say, oh, you know, I went to the river last week, I was using this new fly by this company, and I caught like 4 more fish than usual, and that was awesome. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people are going to read that and say, oh, that's cool, I want that fly too. Mm-hmm. So they'll click on your link, and if they buy it, you get like 4 or 6% of the sale. So if you become like the best fly fishing blogger and Google starts to love you and Pinterest or whatever loves you and people are coming to your website to learn about fishing and there's one related product that they're buying, you can make a bunch of money. And something cool about Amazon Associates that is different from most other affiliate things, they might click your link and realize they are running low on dish soap and deodorant and order those.
Because they don't make their own.
Exactly, because they're not so frugal, they make their own. totally. You would still get like your 6% or 8%, whatever that category pays, of that, even though you didn't write about deodorant, you were writing about fishing.
Like
one time someone went through one of my links and bought a very expensive gaming keyboard for Windows computers. It was like a $400 keyboard.
Dang.
Like my keyboard was like, you know, I use like whatever the basic wired Mac keyboard is. So, yeah. My keyboard's boring, but there's like some fancy keyboards out there and I made like $20 off that. I'm like, that's cool. I didn't even write about keyboards. Thank you, whoever bought that. but so if you're an authority and someone people really trust about whatever your topic is, there's all sorts of ways to make money doing it online.
I love that. This has been such a fun conversation. I definitely want to get you back on here to talk about paying off debt because you've got a killer debt-free story for sure. But the side hustle piece is so interesting to me because it's something that we can all do. And I loved your comment of stop wasting time. Don't do that. Be very intentional about how you spend your time. And over the course of your life, that can start to add up to literally hundreds of thousands of dollars if you do the right steps. Eric, where do people go to learn more about you, your work? Is there a best place to go?
Sure. So if you want to hire me, if you're interested in the freelance side of the business or just want to see how I do that, that's at ericrosenberg.com. But for most people, the place to go is personalprofitability.com. And I actually have a giveaway I want to give listeners of this show because you guys are some of the coolest, awesome money nerds out there. Head to personalprofitability.com/bootcamp. And I have a free week-long video series. If you sign up, you get an email every morning for 1 week with a link to a video. They're like 10, 15 minutes long. And they will help you get your finances under control and get you on track to, who knows, maybe even making that first side hustle dollar. Because that is, I think that's day 7 of the boot camp. I should know what my days are in order off the top of my head.
But, no, it's a lot. I understand.
But yeah, but please check that out. I think you guys will all love it. And it is totally free, no obligations. You don't have to buy a thing. It's just for you.
That's so, cool.
Do go check that out. And also Personal Profitability Podcast, if you like podcasts. I have an episode coming up very soon, as Whitney mentioned, that we recorded recently. So be on the lookout for that and many others.
Oh, I love it. Eric, thank you so much for sharing your time and then also sharing your suggestions of side hustles and the boot camp. That is incredible. So guys, go to the show notes. You can get everything that Eric's mentioned. Check out his income reports as well. It's very inspirational. And I know I find a lot of inspiration from that stuff. Eric, thanks so much. Appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay, so what'd you guys think? Pretty good stuff, right? Eric is definitely a rock star. I appreciated all of his insights and especially his point about not killing time and being very intentional with your time. I thought that was really cool. Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please share it with somebody that you care about. And don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to this podcast to get the latest episodes directly into your podcast player. I appreciate your support so much. Thank you so much for hanging out. And I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.